We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Show. We are on the air. We are glad you are here as well. In this portion of the program being brought to you by our good friends over there at Neumel Medical, treating guys with ED all over the state of Wisconsin, well beyond the borders. And as fall falls upon us, and I hate to say it because it makes me sad, but the truth is that you had a hell of a festival season. Probably grubbed down a lot. You're still grilling and barbecuing and all. Are you watching what you're doing? Okay. The ED thing, look, they've got a 98% success rate. They can take care of that. All right. They can help you out. All but guaranteeing they can. And when it comes to low T, when you're talking about energy, better mental clarity, better mood, better stamina, you know, kind of having the feel good, you know what I mean? They can help you out there. But the all-in-one weight loss program, now that, there you go. You're looking down going, man, I just wasn't going to take my T-shirt off over there at the beach. So now you're thinking to yourself, still need to lose some weight. Now you're going back into the winter months where you're going to start packing it on. Nay, nay. All you got to do is call them, 414-455-4451, and Neumel Medical Center, the medical experts, can help you out. Jumpstart the health and wellness in the new you as you start to head towards October and the candy apples and all the things that maybe your kids pick up or you're going to pick up out and about at the bars and the pubs. And then you've got November where you got Thanksgiving and then Christmas and all the cookies and the pies and the treats and the candies and all that stuff. And then all of a sudden, bam, you're in a new year and you're going, what the hell? So check out Neumel Medical, 414-455-4451. That's 414-455-4451. Okay, so I gave you the five things that I'm looking for tonight, and not one of them included Aaron Rodgers. Because one, if he does play great, and I'm you know, looking forward to seeing that, yes, that would then go to my top five. But I think more so than anything, I'm interested in the run game. I'm interested in the linebacking core. I'm interested in some of the guys that have done it already. Can this team wrap up? Defensively speaking, is the tackling going to get better? I'm looking at the linebacker play. I'm looking at special teams. You know, does the competition between Mason Crosby and Ficken, does that heat up, or is it just going to remain the same? So I'm looking for some of these nuances. I'm looking for some of the guys that are on the back end of the roster right now that are trying to make the squad to see if they've got it. I think Alan Lazard right now has almost played his way onto the top six. Is Trevor Davis, because of his injury, which has been consistent and problematic throughout his career, is, you know, he's got tremendous speed as a returner, but with other guys getting an opportunity, somebody knock him out of that role? Does Lazard, because of his pass-catching ability, does he end up finding a spot on this team? So there's a lot of things that I'm looking for when it comes to the Green Bay Packers. By the way, Brad in Sturgeon Bay writes, and this is something that's obvious because we haven't talked about it yet, but we will. But he says, what are the chances that whichever kicker the Packers cut ends up with the Bears? That is a great question. That is a great question. Here's the reason why, in case you haven't checked it out already. There was an article by Sports Illustrated, the MMQB, okay, where they and Kaylin Collar, I think is her name, she wrote this and put this whole thing together. It's interesting. If you haven't read it already, I can post the link on Twitter and over on the Facebook fan page. But the Bears have brought in, ever since the Chris Collinsworth dubbed double doink from Cody Parkey last year, okay. And the Bears just cut him. They just said, we're done. Now, he had quite a few hits off the uprights last year. But remember, the one thing about it is, remember, that kick that took them out of the postseason, that kick was tipped at the line of scrimmage. And everybody just thinks Cody Parkey missed it. No, it got hit at the line of scrimmage. Okay? So, nine kickers. Six rookies, three veteran free agents. Nine have been herded up and brought into to Bears camp. Nine guys. It's not like it's one or two or maybe three or four, but nine guys they've got kicking at Bears camp. And it's just, It's become a crap show. Now, as a Packers fan, you're like, right on. How are we looking? But if you look at a guy like Ficken, who has been just extremely steady, and Mason Crosby, who's been fantastic throughout his career, it's very possible that whoever doesn't make this squad ends up in Chicago. You know? Look, there's an article or there's a portion of this article where it says, hey, look, at one point in practice, Nagy blows the whistle, but not to signal the end of practice. He calls up Fry for a 43-yard attempt with a full field goal unit in place. The symbolism didn't require an explanation to layer an additional pressure. The loud music that played throughout the day stopped. The effect was eerie stillness. Nagy dubbed Augusta silence, an idea he picked up watching the Masters. Fry missed the kick. He walked back to the sideline. Nagy carried on with practice. A few minutes later, he asked the kickers all to line up, 50-yard line. Four on the right hash, four on the left. They each attempted the series of field goals from 43. Again, symbolic because that was the field goal that was missed last year by Cody Parkey that was tipped at the line of scrimmage. It's the whole team, the whole coaching staff, the whole front office, all the media watching. There was a weird feeling about the kick just because of the spot where they were kicking from. And they just went through it. You know, four guys missed out of six or nine, excuse me, out of nine. Ultimately, the group went a combined 2 for 8 from the Parkey spot. 2 for 8. They can't find a kicker. So going back to what I'm looking for tonight, okay, what I'm going back for tonight, keep watching the kickers because one of these two guys could end up in that dreaded Navy and Orange in Chicago before it's all said and done. I mean, the Packers found somebody formidable to go up against Mason Crosby, and the Bears can't find a dude to kick it consistently through the uprights. And the Packers have got a guy in camp now that's kicking it from 63. So, yeah, I'm watching special teams tonight. You are absolutely correct. 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, feel free. Hey, also, by the way, Steve writes, what I'm going to be watching for tonight, special teams, both coverage and return. We're just talking about how craptacular they were last year under Zook. Interior offensive line play, especially Jenkins, Madison, and Turner. Montrevious Adams, can he play with any consistency? The defensive rookies, Rashawn Gary, Darnell Savage Jr., Ty Summers. Summers has been impressive, and Savage is a real deal. Rashawn Gary, this whole thing about, well, it takes the guys longer time to get, look, that's fine. But you're the first-round draft choice, damn it. You should be an impact player right here, right now. I don't want to hear this stuff about, well, it takes him a little time. No, that's not what you're supposed to be. And if that's the case, you should have never drafted him or you did. That will be considered a failure. And the wide receiver battle, could a nice outing by both Trevor Davis and Jamon Moore give them either one trade value, or two, does it then put them back into the mix to make the squad? You know? Think about it. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. Going to go ahead and take a quick break. Come back. Start getting your phone calls. What are you looking for in tonight's contest? This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Bud Light. Hey, don't forget next Wednesday night. It is the full Toys experience. The band is going to be on stage. The original Toys are going to be all back together. And next Wednesday night at Wednesday Night Live, it is our charity, Fisher House, Wisconsin night. We are the benefactor of the 50-50. So please bring friends. You don't need to ride. Come in carloads for all I care. Walk if you need to. But come out to Wednesday Night Live next Wednesday night at the Wisconsin State Fair Park. That's Wednesday Night Live. Come out and enjoy yourself. Music under the stars. It's great. It's the last one of the season. I can't believe I'm saying that. But it's also our night for Fisher House, Wisconsin. We cannot do this without you. So please come on out next Wednesday night. The Bud Pavilion at Wisconsin State Fair Park. It's all brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Things you are looking for tonight. And you can put it plus or minus if Aaron Rodgers is or isn't going to play. Plus or minus tonight, things you're looking for specifically. More of the Bill Michaels Show is next.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
I see your dirty face.
Reminder that we're going to be out on the road coming up tomorrow. We're going to be at Road America as the Xfinity NASCAR Series comes roaring in to Road America up in Elkhart Lake. We're going to be there tomorrow. And then a week from tomorrow, we're going to be at Wisconsin Harley-Davidson for our live broadcast in promotion of not only the Milwaukee Rally that's going to be going on, but also our motorcycle ride, which is coming up. So please, if you're going to be in that area, either one, well, it's tough to come and see us tomorrow because we're going to be up in the media center. But a week from tomorrow on the road out at Wisconsin Harley-Davidson, man, come on over. Whether it's your lunch hour or whatever, come on over to next Friday and say hello, and I'll give you a flyer for the motorcycle ride if you want some information. I believe we are going to have one of the television or two of the television stations that are going to be there joining us as well to come over and say hello and do some stuff regarding the motorcycle ride. So I appreciate the coverage. But, yeah, we're trying to get as many riders aware of this and bring out as many riders as we possibly can and raise as much money as we possibly can for Fisher House, Wisconsin. But put it on your calendar. A week from tomorrow, going to be at Wisconsin Harley-Davidson. Come on out. That's right there in Oconomowoc, right up at 94, south of 94. You can't miss it. And say hello. So the top five things, three things, two things, the top thing, whatever it happens to be, you are looking for coming out of tonight's contest between the Packers and then the Oakland Raiders. This one's from Chuck. Chuck writes, hey, guys, a couple of things I'm looking for. One, Aaron Rodgers to get on the damn field. He keeps talking about getting this offense going, but things from what I hear are sputtering. Is this true? It's true in the sense that the defense has been a little bit better. They're still installing stuff. It's language. It's certain dynamics of this offense. Yeah, it's true. It hasn't been as quick and as crisp as we wanted it to see. So when you talk about Aaron Rodgers playing, yes, that's what you want to see is the rhythm. You know, you want to see plays work, and you want to see the scheme work, but you want to see the rhythm of the offense, you know? There's a get in the huddle, get out quickly, come on, get up to the line of scrimmage, snap the ball, get everybody off quickly, rotating the same way, learning where your steps are, getting all that down. Now, they do that in practice, but now you've got guys that want to take your head off, trying to make a squat on the other side that are coming after you. It changes a little bit of dynamic. So, yes, I get it. You want to see Aaron Rodgers. He said, number two, I want to see the wide receiving core. Everybody keeps telling me how great it is. I think it's Davante Adams and everybody else, and I don't think Devontae's a great wide receiver. I think he's very good. Will Trevor Davis actually be there? Equanimeous St. Brown, or he's got him E. St. Brown on his email. Will he actually step up? I think Geronimo Allison is an injury problem waiting to happen. Kumaro I like, but I don't know how good he is. Does he have enough speed? Is he like Jordy Nelson? Kumaro, no, he's not Jordy Nelson, but he's very assured of his routes. He knows where he's supposed to be. Very good hands. A big-time possession guy. Look, if he can get downfield and get open for a 7-yard out or a 9-yard out or a 12-yard out or an in or a slant or whatever, he's that guy. He can pick you up a lot of first downs and let you fight another day. So I like Jake Kumaro. Your downfield threats are Davante Adams and Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Those are the two guys that got the wheels to do it. Now, Trevor Davis does, but Trevor Davis is not really used very much in this offense as a wide receiver. He then goes on to say, can Brian Bulaga actually hold up for an entire season and start every game? I don't think so. Who do they have behind him? Well, you have guys like Lucas Patrick. You have, Cole Madison. You're going to do some shifting around in your offensive line, but you've got depth. Elgton Jenkins. That can do it. Lane Taylor, that can do it. You've got guys that have been able to kind of bounce out to that right tackle position. You're about as deep as you've been in a while offensive line-wise. Now, the one thing you have to – every time we say this, though, knock on wood, because every time we say this, remember the year that it was Jordy, it was Randall, and you started going through the whole list of wide receivers, and then you picked up the new guys. Remember that? You picked up Davante Adams. You picked up all these new players, and all of a sudden, everybody was going down. Ty Montgomery goes down. Davante goes down. You're down to Jeff Janis and Jared Aberderas at the end of the season. Everybody else was gone. And, you know, Aberderas and Jeff Janis are catching, you know, last-second passes to give the team the ability to win games. So I don't want to say, oh my God, this is the most depth you've ever had, because it only takes three injuries and all of a sudden you're screwed. So you're deep. You've got some options, but you cross your fingers the team stays healthy. And then he says, does Kenny Clark have the ability to be a Pro Bowler, but does it make that big of an impact as a nose tackle? Yes, it does. Because if he gets pushed, not only does it help the run game, help them, you know, prevent the run game, but also it takes away cutback lanes for a quarterback, whether he has to flush right or left or a running back to go right or left. If you can't go back because there's Kenny Clark pushing the pile back, it makes you one side of the field dimensional. So, yes, that's the reason you judge a nose tackle for what they can do. And if they take on a double team, too, Kenny Clark, very solid. There's another guy you don't want to lose. You want to hang on to. You don't want him to go down with any type of an injury, although Tyler Lancaster's been a guy that many of these guys are high on and think very highly of. But Tyler Lancaster would be the backup, you would assume, in that role, or they would be shifting guys around. But he's the most likely candidate, and he's impressed. He's been a guy. Remember last year we had Blake Martinez on the Lodge Kohler kickoff, and Blake said, hey, if there's a guy you're going to watch in the future, watch Tyler Lancaster. They really like him. He wanted to get some size and bulk in the offseason, and he did. And also he's a guy that really worked his tail off and earned himself yet another spot on this team. So Tyler Lancaster is another guy you want to watch. And by the way, appreciate the email. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. PBBB Flagship says, what I'm looking for tonight, something that resembles tackling. So, again, making a note of all the missed tackles and broken tackles that this team has had for quite some time. Trevor says, no injuries, that's it. Cross my fingers. This one's from Adam. Adam writes in the Wendy's email inbox, fresh, never frozen. Can somebody tell me why Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to play? Because Aaron knows his status. He gets hurt, screwed. Doesn't want to go through an entire season banged up again. Let's do it. If we're going to do it, let's do it for real. He feels that you get all your better times and kind of teaching moments in practice. And he's right. So, and this has become the argument. I went through this at the beginning of the program. I don't want to get too in-depth again. But look, if you're going to go out there and you're going to run vanilla offense, you're going to hand off left, hand off right, throw a couple of quick outs, nothing really deep into your playbook, then why are you putting him out there in harm's way at all?
Yeah, I think it's a good point, Bill.
Thank you very much. No reason to. But if you're going to open up the playbook and you're going to say, these are some of the things we're trying to install, we really need to work on. Okay, if we're going to go into the regular season ready to go, then by all means, you stick him out there for a series or two or three, and you try to get a rhythm on the offense. You try to get out of the huddle quick. You try to get the snap off quick. You try to get him to, he can read quickly, but you try to get him into the rhythm of the offense and not him trying to improvise, and then you run him out there. Otherwise, if you're going out there for a series or two just to hand the ball off, what sense does that make? You know? So, and it's not that he doesn't want to play in the preseason. It's that he doesn't have to. But you're taking into consideration the other 10 guys that are working with him. Now, the starting offensive line already knows him and knows his nuances. But when you're talking about working with, say, Aaron Jones throwing the ball out of the backfield, Danny Vitale, they don't use a fullback very often. You know what I mean? When you're talking about getting a guy like, say, Jimmy Graham back into the swing of things, Jay Sternberger, Robert Tonyan, all these guys. Now, Sternberger, he's back at practice, so that's good news after his concussion. So he's back, so you want to get him some time. But you want to get on the same page with a second-year guy like Marquez Valdes-Scantling, the second-year guy you're bringing in who you brought in last year in Jake Kumerow, Geronimo Allison coming back off of injury, Equanimeous St. Brown, who you picked up last year. Again, you want to go and work with some of these younger guys during live participatory settings so you get them ready for the regular season. So, and a guy like Billy Turner, okay? Even though it's the right guard position, Billy Turner, you got between him, Elgton Jenkins, Cole Madison, these guys that are vying for a spot at the left guard position, they have to get familiar with Aaron Rodgers and the way he kind of scrambles around and improvises and what he does on the field if the play begins to break down. So they've got to learn it because your offensive line, obviously your last line of protection, short of maybe having a fullback or a running back in to give you a little bit of a chip block. So that's the reason you want to see Aaron Rodgers on the field. But again, Aaron doesn't have to play for Aaron to be good, but I think more so Aaron has to play for other guys around him to be good. 855-830-8648. This is from Ben, who tweets us at Bill_Michaels, by the way. Follow me there. I want to see Summers not miss so many tackles. Rodgers and the offense move the ball down the field and score. Get that. I'll be happy. Summers has missed some tackles, but he's also the team leader right now in tackles. He's been all over the field. And the fact that what I see out of Summers is this. I like his closing speed. I love his closing speed. That's the one thing I look at and I say, really, really solid. When you watch him make a decision and say, okay, I'm going to get from point A to point B, really solid the way he moves to the football. 855-830-8648. Again, a reminder, please, I can't say it enough, our motorcycle ride, the 12th annual coming up, presented by Bud Light and Concordia University Veteran Services Department, Sunday, September 1st. It benefits Fisher House, Wisconsin. Staging is going to be at Milwaukee Brewing Company on 9th Street in Milwaukee. They're going to have a biker breakfast, brewery tours. The rooftop bar is going to be open strictly to us. It opens up at 8 a.m. Registration, if you haven't done so already, opens up at 8 a.m. 10 a.m., kickstands up. The Milwaukee Police Department is going to take us out around the highway, protect us, and take us all the way to New Berlin, where the New Berlin Police Department picks us up and gets us over to the New Berlin Ale House. And after that, we're off and running, and we can't do this without you. It goes about 100 miles. We have the after party at Wisconsin Harley-Davidson, giving away the poker hands and all the prizes. It's a tremendous event, and we can't raise the money. We can't do all of this if you don't join us. Please come out and join us. If you want more information, go to BillMichaelsSports.com. That's BillMichaelsSports.com. You can find it on Facebook. Just, you know, put in their 12th annual Big Units Poker Run or Big Units Poker Ride or something, and you're going to find all the information. It'll pop right up for you, but we can't do it without you. If you've got a motorcycle, if you know somebody who does, bring friends. A buddy of mine, David, he's the GM out there at the Brookfield Toyota dealership location. He said, hey, I saw him last night, him and his wife. They came over. We got 12 people coming with us. So not just them that signed up, but we've got 12 more that have now chimed in and said, hey, they're going to be there. The weather's supposed to be great, knock on wood. We've already got a really good extended forecast, so about 8 to 10 days, and it looks like it's going to be about 73 and sunny right now. So, man, oh, man, oh, man, come on out and join us, please. Coming up Sunday, September 1st, put it on your calendar, and we hope to see you there. More of the Bill Michaels Show. By the way, Jerry Augustine, Fox Sports Wisconsin, talking some Brewers baseball next.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Glad you are here as well. And the Bill Michaels Show continues on. Jerry Augustine, former Brewers pitcher, analyst on Fox Sports Wisconsin for the Brewers contest as well. Brewers get a win. God himself must have been a Brewers fan as the rains came and the Brewers got a win last night. Nice. Brewers 3.5 games back in the standings. The Cubs right now with the Cardinals loss. Cubs get a win. Cubs take a half-game lead in the Central. Jerry Augustine on the Schneider Orange Hotline. So, the synopsis, if you write the entire synopsis of the season as the way things stand from the beginning, the expectations to where it is today, what would it be?
Wow. You know, and it's really tough, unit, when you talk about this ball club. A lot of ups and downs, a lot of different types of changes that have gone on. The club is kind of a little bit different ball club. They have a different makeup than they did last year. And I think the biggest difference when you look at this ball club is their bullpen. And each and every year, you see a lot of changes that go on with a club. And it's usually the pitching in the bullpen is where you see a lot of differences. And this year, I think a lot had to do with, you know, they did make some changes with players. They went through with the party. Now you have Keston Hiura up, who's doing a great job. But and you got to learn a lot about your organization and what you have in the minor leagues. And Keston has really been a very positive. But it's been a big change with the pitching part of it. You went out at the beginning of the season, and you really took a chance by starting those three young kids at the beginning of the season, hopefully that two of the three would pan out. Only one has panned out. Now you got Brandon Woodruff injured. But they've had some ups and downs. And I think when you look at this season, I think you look at pitching and pitching being a big difference.
It is different, and look, you've had a lot of injuries. I don't know whether I look at this as glasses half full or what, but you had an injury to every starter. You had, obviously, Corey Knebel go down before the season even got underway. Jimmy Nelson hasn't come back to really fulfill the bill. And then you had subpar years out of Lorenzo Cain, Orlando Arcia, Jesus Aguilar, Travis Shaw. You start to look at that, and you say, how in the hell are you only 3.5 games back?
You know, that shows the resiliency of this ball club. You know, even looking at the ball in the bullpen with JJ, he's really struggling this year. And he's a better pitcher than he's showing. He's just getting it just in one of those niches right now where he just can't make good pitches when he needs to. But, you know, you look at the things you just brought up and you look at what those guys did last year, and you can even take like Travis Shaw and Jesus Aguilar as two of the guys. These guys, where would they have been last year if they didn't have those two guys swinging the bat the way they did and playing the way they did? They would not even have had a chance to get to the playoffs. So a big difference in what has happened. But, you know, it kind of shows the resiliency of this club. They go out and they play hard. And I think when you talk about the parity that you have in this, in the NL Central with each team getting better, you look at Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati's a really good ball club. This club is going to be something to look out for next year. They've done all the things they had to do. And you look at the top three teams with Chicago and the Cardinals and the Brewers, they're every year it's the same thing. It's the same way. And so it's really interesting. I think parity in the division and especially in the National League has a lot to do with why the Brewers are where they are. And that's a good thing for the Brewer Ball Club.
Augie, between you, me, and this bottle of glass cleaner that sits in front of me, the change in the pitching staff with, specifically I'm talking about Derek Johnson and Lee Tunnell. Now, there's no coincidence, Cincinnati, they picked up Sonny Gray, yes, but they have also become tremendously better, and they've been relatively injury-free when it comes to their staff, and I think that's something key here. But you know as well as I do, there was a culture out there that Lee Tunnell had created in the bullpen. You know Derek Johnson and the work that he did. Are we talking about now an adjustment period because of the coaching staff? And don't get me wrong, I think Chris Hook is tremendous, and I really like what they bring to the table, but there's just something different, dude. I don't know what it is, but there's just something different about this staff. And as a guy that was a pitcher, how much does a culture change make a difference in your world?
Well, you know, kudos to Derek Johnson and what he did with the Brewers. He did a nice job, and you take Lee Tunnell, what he's done. He's a veteran, a guy who's pitched in the big leagues, understands what it is to pitch in the bullpen. Those guys did a great job. They had great pitchers, but they did a great job, and they were able to maneuver his pitching staff and get him to where they were very, very positive. Derek doesn't stay here. He goes somewhere else. He goes to Cincinnati. You look at the pitchers that Cincinnati has picked up. They went out, and they got four strong pitchers, and they are just a better ball club, not because of the pitchers they had last year. It's the pitchers they picked up and what they have this year and what you have to work on now getting Trevor Bauer from Cleveland. I mean, here's a number one starter for any ball club, and now they made that trade. So they've gotten better because they have acquired guys, and now they have Derek over there working with those guys along with Lee Tunnell. But I don't take anything away from Chris Hook and Steve Carsley, what they have done with this ball club. I've known Chris for a lot of years, and he is an A1 guy. He understands pitching. He understands personalities. He knows that pitching is more than just throwing a baseball. It's about that mental part of the game, and it's also about understanding what these guys are all like, and having that respect for them and having that relationship is so important. And I think he's done an outstanding job with what has transpired. You take the starting rotation from the beginning of the year, and you look at the starting rotation now, the only guy that's in there is Zach Davies, and Zach just got back. So I think it's very good what they have done, and they've shown signs. They got Brandon Woodruff when he comes off. He's a top-notch starter, and they got Adrian Hauser, who pitched last night. His last three times out, he's been very good. And the bullpen is coming. You see in spurts where they're starting to get in an area where Craig Counsell is getting a little bit of a comfort zone, not doing great every time out, but starting to get that comfort zone where you get into that last month of the season. You want to know exactly what you need, and they're starting to get there. We saw it a little bit last night. You saw Claudio come in the game, get a big out with a lefty. That's what they want him to do. And you saw Matt Albers, who's throwing the ball very good, come and get outs and get him out of tough innings, being that guy that can come and stop rallies. These are guys you need in the bullpen, but they need guys to step up also. They need the Junior Guerra and the JJs to step up, and along with Josh Hader. And if they get that, they're going to be okay the last month of the season.
I'm talking with Jerry Augustine, former Brewers pitcher and analyst for Fox Sports Wisconsin on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Also, some pieces have changed. Obviously, you bring up Keston Hiura. But you lose a guy like Aguilar, who a lot of guys liked in the clubhouse. Travis Shaw, who you know, he's struggled this season, and obviously that's had some wear in that clubhouse. You lose a guy like Domingo Santana prior to the season. You bring in Ben Gamel. Talk about the shift in culture and what that means when you start to lose some of the familiar faces, the fun faces that you won with, as opposed to some of the guys that are now coming in. You're trying to make those guys feel comfortable. In addition to that, you're still trying to go out and get wins. How difficult is that in a clubhouse? Because it's one of those intangibles that you can't quantify with sabermetrics, and it pisses off the numbers people, but there is something to it.
Yeah, there sure is, and you know, I think it's a credit to the organization. I think when you're an organization like Milwaukee, you have your organization and how you build it from the top to the bottom is so important. And I think there's a time when David Stearns and Matt Arnold and Mark Antanasio, along with Craig, look at it and say, hey, you know what? There's got to be some shifts here. We can't stay the same. It's not going to be the same. From year to year, there's going to be some changes. We have to go and see where our organization is and how they can compete and what they can do with people that we have in this organization that can come up and compete. And I think you saw a lot of it. And it started in the pitching staff when you bring the young three starters with Peralta, Burns, and Woodruff starting the season in the rotation. And then you go back and, they made some trades. They picked up Claudio for the bullpen then. But then you bring up a guy like Keston here to take over second base job to see what he can do. He's been nothing more than sensational. When you look at what he does to this Brewer lineup, he really solidifies this Brewer lineup. He's a guy that can go out there and legitimately protect Christian Yelich and allow Chris make it a little bit tougher for ball clubs to pitch to Christian. And so when you look at what they've done, yes, they've lost some great players, guys who put up some great numbers. But at the same time, in baseball, that happens and things change. And I think that what they have done by moving Moose over to third base, bringing in Keston, and I think Ben Gamel has just been a great player to have. He's excellent off the bench. He's a great outfielder. He can play all three positions, unlike Domingo Santana. And what he's done as a pinch hitter has been very good. So I think the things that you see and the things that are going on, and you have to add an Eric Thames in there, what he's been doing has just been fantastic. Things build up, and certain people have that opportunity to step up, and that's what they need. And you're starting to see this team play a little bit better as we're going along, and that's what they're going to need the final month of the season.
So I got two things for you before I let you go. The first being, we obviously know that the Cubs and the Cardinals, the Brewers still hold their fate in their own hands. But with the favorable schedule, how confident are you that this Brewers team can win? I think they're going to need to win the division to get to the postseason myself, but how confident are you with the way things are right now and the favorable schedule they have towards the end of the season that they can do that?
Well, you know, you look at we started with Minnesota when we played Minnesota. From Minnesota on up till September 8th, they've got 8 series that are as tough as any in baseball. Every one of the teams that they play are really vying for an opportunity to play in postseason. All the teams are above 500. All the teams have that opportunity. And we've gone through 3 series now. Has it been favorable? Not as well as you like. But there's, when you look at it, starting this series against Arizona, and then you go to, then you have St. Louis come in, then you go to Chicago, then you come back in Houston, then back to Chicago. I think that's going to tell your story. I think this is a team that right now has to really put things together and start winning series. I think if they go through the next, you know, we said 8, if they go through the next 5 series and they play very good baseball, they win series, it's going to really set them up well for September. But I think everybody agrees that you got to start playing baseball very consistently in all 3 phases. You got to start getting better with runners in scoring position and scoring runs. The pitching, both on the starting and the bullpen, has to be very consistent. They have to gel together. And then defensively, this team has been very good defensively. I think if there's one positive thing you take out of this year, all year long, their defense has been very good. So I think it's a matter of what they do in the next 5 series that are going to be very important, what happens for the rest of the year in the month of September.
Okay, and then my second question and final one is this. You go back to all the way 2014, even 2013, his entire career, Christian Yelich has been out of his damn mind. I mean, he really burst onto the scene with power in 2016, and since then it's just been consistent and good. And obviously playing in the National League Central has given him a boost as well. If he puts up another, because they got him for another 3 years, something, 3-4 years. So if you look in Christian Yelich going all the way through 2022, and he's a free agent in 2023, what if he continues to put these numbers up, Augie? Is he a $500 million man?
Wow, I don't know about the $500 million. You know, that sounds
unreal. Well, I'm just looking at the numbers. He's more consistent than Bryce Harper.
Yes, he is, by far. No question.
I think he's a better player, and he doesn't get nearly the credit he deserves. And I think if you're going to talk about anybody being a $500 million guy, he may be the first to do it.
Yeah, he might be. I mean, when you look at a guy, I think the best thing that happened to Christian Yelich, not taking away Miami, I think the Marlins, Florida Marlins, are a great ball club. But I think really when you look at it, Christian being traded over to Milwaukee is probably the best thing that happened to Christian. He's in a ballpark that's really conducive to the way he swings the bat. He's in an organization that, you know, they give you that opportunity to go out and exceed anything you've been able to do. They give you that opportunity. I think he's playing for a great manager and great counsel. Does he have that opportunity? I think, like you, Unit, I think he's one of the top five baseball players in baseball right now that you have to look at. And his MVP last year proved that he is a good ball player. He's really duplicating that this year. And then we're going to have a great finish. It's going to be interesting to see how that all pans out because it's such a good race. But does he have that possibility? Yeah, I think he has a possibility of being one of the top players in baseball as far as salary goes. He is such a great player. He plays hard every day. He doesn't like to take days off. And he's very good in the community, in the clubhouse. And, you know, you talk about a pro-type player that you want to have on your ball club and in your organization. I think Christian Yelich is that guy.
Jerry Augustine from Fox Sports Wisconsin. There you go. Joining us on the Schneider Orange Highline. Thanks, Jerry. I appreciate it as always. By the way, if you want to become part of their team, all you got to do is go to SchneiderJobs.com. That's 844 Pride. Go to SchneiderJobs.com. When we come back, we'll hear some Mike Clemens. We'll wrap things up next to the Bill Michaels Show.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Appreciate it as always. So a reminder, a couple of things. First of all, coming up tonight, immediately following Green Bay and Oakland, you make sure you turn it to many of these same stations and you're going to catch the Uptown Motors Green and Gold postgame show. That's coming up tonight. Gary Ellison, the former Packer, former Badger running back, going to be alongside again this year. We're getting it done. We're going to be taking your phone calls, your reaction, emails, tweets, all that kind of stuff. Positive, negative, whatever it happens to be. So that's coming up tonight. And then we're back at it again tomorrow. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to have Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst. Mike Clemens is going to be here as well, getting you ready for everything. And I also wanted to remind you, the Radio.com app, and I think it's cool as hell. You download this thing on whatever mobile device you have. And then when we're going on the air with the Green and Gold postgame show, because you got to favorite us, okay? And our flagship station is 105.7 FM, The Fan, out of Milwaukee. But you can also, you know, just go in there and search Bill Michaels or something. You can find that and favorite that as well. And as we're getting ready to go on the air, an alert goes out. Joe's good about it. Joe will send out the alert. You know, here we go. It's the Green and Gold postgame show. Bill Michaels, Gary Ellerson. Bam. Comes right to your phone. Bzz, bzz. Alert you. Oh, that's right. Green and Gold postgame show. It's on the air. How are we looking? Let's take a listen. And then there you go. So it alerts you to listen. That way, if you forget about it, you go, ah, crap, I forgot to tune in. I was over here listening to that or this or that, whatever. And it's great for Sundays because after the game, if you're either putting your foot through a television or maybe you're going out to cut the grass after a victory, whatever it happens to be, it'll alert you, hey, put it in your headset. We're right there. So that's another great way to take us with you. Go to radio.com on whatever mobile device you have and download the app and then find me and favorite us and you're good to go. It's that simple. Until we talk later tonight, it is time for us to get out here. Have a great one, and we will talk to you immediately following the game with the Uptown Motors Green and Gold postgame show. Time to go. Have a going. Boop.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.